Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Pick up your book bags. Grab your notebooks. It's time to go on campus with Denton.
Hey, give me my theme music.
All right, big boy.
Man, what a weekend.
What a Saturday.
I mean, what a
weekend. What a Friday night. I mean, the Georgia Tech-Georgia game, which I want you to save until last so we can talk about the college football overtime. But where do you want to start?
Well, college football overtime, great show. Everyone should listen to it on SiriusXM.
It's an excellent show. The host, I heard, is pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. So we're going to start with the biggest upset. The biggest upset to me was Michigan and Ohio State. Now, the Syracuse-Miami thing was big as well, and I think those implications are actually heavier. But watching Michigan, this year's team, beat Ohio State, this year's team, which was supposedly the most talented they'd ever have, just ask Urban Meyer and Jim Tressel, pretty big names in Columbus, Ohio. They put a lot of pressure on Ryan Day, and they completely collapsed under pressure. I mean, I cannot remember a more pitiful game, a more sorry excuse of an offensive performance than what we saw from Ohio State. Only 10 points against your rival at home. And then you get the flag planting stuff. But really, the loss for Ryan Day, this will not fire him. But if they have an early exit in the college football playoff, because they will still get in, he's going to be in a lot of trouble.
If he loses in a first round game, let's just say against Tennessee, something like that, at home, let's just say they're an 8 seed when we get to the playoff field and they play a game in the shoe against Tennessee and lose at home, he's getting fired.
Yeah.
I think he has to get to the national championship game at a minimum. And it's not – he's 47-1 against the rest of the Big Ten. This guy can obviously coach. He's lost four straight to Michigan, and everybody understands this. When you are the head coach at Michigan or you're the head coach at Ohio State, there is one game that is the most important game to win. It sounds insane, but you have to beat the team up north if you're the Ohio State coach, or you've got to beat, you know, Ohio State, the Buckeyes, if you're a Michigan coach. And it just hasn't happened for him. The last three, they were not the better team. You know, Michigan won three straight with Harbaugh. Remember, he hadn't gotten over that hump. And then once he finally did, He wins three, and then this year was supposed to be the beginning of turning it around. They went off as a 23-point favorite in this game.
Mm-hmm.
23.
They didn't even score now, half of that.
The game itself, let me just say that I don't think you and I gave Michigan enough credit for playing much better football sort of coming in. We remember the painful games, you know, early in the season against Texas, you know, where they couldn't, you know, throw the football. They actually had a big lead, remember, had a lead at Washington and lost. But their problem was at quarterback more than anything else. They were still pretty tough in the trenches and on defense. They crushed a Northwestern team that had not really been, you know, handled in the way that Michigan handled them the week before the Ohio State game. They were right there with a chance to beat Indiana in a game on the road. But nobody thought Michigan would win this game. Nobody did. This was going to be 3-year frustration coming to an end. Let's start with the kicker who missed two chip shot field goals. Talk about choking, okay? Because their kicker, I think, had been pretty good all year long. And he missed two shorties in the biggest game of the year. And then you talk about Will Howard. I thought Will Howard had been good for a lot of the games this year. You know, you and I think have been on opposite sides of Will Howard. I thought he was much better than Kyle McCord and was an improvement, even though McCord played very well at Syracuse this year. But he had horrible yips, horrible nerves, and just made some of the worst throws that you could imagine. Two picks and at least one or two others that could have been picked. And then Michigan, you know, they can't throw the football either, but they're totally intent on saying, we're going to line up, we're going to go slobber knocker, we're going to run it at you, and we think we can make 10 yards in 3 or 4 plays. Crazy game. It was such a poorly played game. And at the same time, as it was building towards this possibility of Ohio State losing this game in Columbus, it became really compelling.
I love rivalry games that are lower scoring. I think it's way more impactful than if this was like a 40-35 shootout. While those games are fun, there's something about this one where it was like, is one play going to define this? And the one play was that Will Howard interception, not in the red zone, but the one that put Michigan in the red zone for their only touchdown, because they only had to go 2 yards.
How about the interception Warren threw into the end zone, that when they were second and goal? I was like, you got to be kidding me.
I mean, both quarterbacks. Michigan's had 3 quarterbacks this year, and somehow none of them have been good.
I'll tell you what, after watching them early in the year when against Texas, I think going 7-5 and beating your chief rival as a 23-point dog as in this defending championship season, this was a successful season for Michigan if you saw them early.
Definitely. They're also the reason that Indiana didn't fall from the rankings when they lost to Ohio State. I have always felt like the committee this year values Michigan way higher than we as viewers do, because outside of the quarterback, they're good everywhere else. It's just they can't throw.
So, two things out of this game. One, you agree with me that Ryan Day has to at least get to the national
yes.
championship game, which, by the way, means winning 3 playoff games to get to the title game.
Yes.
And that if he doesn't, he gets fired?
Maybe not. I think he needs to at least win 1 or 2 games. He has to show that he can. Like, if he loses, let's just say hypothetically, I don't know that this will match up, but I guess we'll find out a little bit more tonight. If they go up against, like, a Notre Dame, who historically does not have a good reputation at all in the college football playoff or
big
national
games.
Championship. If they lose to them, he's done immediately. Now, if they win 1 or 2 games and then lose to, like, Georgia or to, like, Oregon again, they square off against them.
What if they lose to Tennessee at home?
Then he's gone. If he loses at home to anybody again, he's gone.
Yeah,
I think so. I don't think they'll get a home game. I think they'll be on the away side. But if he loses to anybody at home, he's gone.
I mean, I saw Heather Dinich this morning. I was watching her. She had Ohio State and her in the rankings that we'll see tonight projected to have a home game as an 8 seed. Like an 8-9 game.
An 8-9 matchup.
It'll be close. I mean, and after that, you'd play the 1 seed, which could potentially be Oregon and a rematch with Oregon. God, would Oregon want that?
No.
You know what?
No.
I mean, why would you want Ohio State in that second round as the one seed? That seems almost unfair. So that was one, you know, thing that we have to talk about. Fine. What about Michigan and the flag planting episode? Loved your take it. On this is what?
Loved it. I love that sort of stuff. And I felt so weird listening to Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt. And, you know, Klatt's been involved in a lot of rivalry games when he was at Colorado. It sounded like they were calling the Kennedy assassination. They had never seen something as disrespectful as that. I loved it. This is what rivalries are supposed to be about. This is the one sport in America where you have, like, legitimate hatred towards one another. You know, the NFL, that's dissipated substantially. The NBA, that's dissipated substantially. Every professional sport, you lack real legit rivalries, but you still have that in college. If you don't want somebody to plant their flag into your turf, beat them, because the loser never is going to do it. Ohio State showed more fight with a piece of fabric being placed into turf than they did for 60 minutes against their biggest rival. I loved that Michigan did it, and I thought it was incredibly telling that Ryan Day just kind of sat there with a 1,000-yard stare while all of that happened.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I love the rivalry thing that's legitimate and genuine, and you feel it in that game. Like, these are two fan bases that hate each other. These are coaching staffs that don't like each other. These are players, some of whom, you know, were friendly in high school and played together in high school or played against each other in high school, and they immediately adapt. You know, this is one of those rivalries where, you know, it's not just a fan thing. It's just not a media thing. It is a player thing, and it's hard to get that in sports, especially in professional sports. I love that about that. But let me just say this. If you're going to plant a flag on, you know, at midfield as the road team after beating your arch rival, I have no problem at all with the Ohio State players responding
sure
the way they did. Now, that adds to what you said, which is, you know, as I was watching it, and I was watching it live, and maybe many of you were, and I know Denton was, before his big college football show on Sirius XM, but I absolutely loved the intensity of what was going on, because it really did reflect something that is totally authentic and genuine, the whole, you know, whatever word you want to say. This is a legit hate-filled rivalry. If Ohio State's players hadn't responded, I would have looked down on that. That would have been, you know, to me, them responding on their home turf to that is not poor sportsmanship or loser activity. I don't think, honestly, that if I were the coach of a team, that I would advocate or allow, after one time, planting a flag on an opposing field. I would, just for the purposes of this, for the purposes of not creating a furor and a frothing of mouths prior to the next game we play against them next year, I would have celebrated with my team, with my fan base, and gotten into that locker room and just absolutely gone wild and celebrated all the way back to Ann Arbor. It's not that I wasn't entertained watching it as it was going on, but if Ohio State didn't answer in that particular situation, to me that would have been really soft and would have been a bad look for them.
If the Buckeyes didn't respond to that, that is where the eye test comes in. I would kick them out of the playoff.
I mean, well, I don't know about that happen, but certainly you know, I think about the rivalries that I've been involved in as a fan. The three NFC East rivals, the Cowboys being number one. And for me, the Maryland Duke thing was a big, big deal for a long period of time. If they started, you know, tramping around and trampling on the floor and doing some sort of celebration at midcourt and then took a Duke flag and planted it right there, I would have expected Gary Williams' bunch to go nuts. By the way, they would have never done that in College Park because they wouldn't have made it out of there alive. I mean, I don't know about keeping them out of the playoff, but I had no. If you're going to do that, you do it at your own risk.
And there were four examples.
Other
of that. Steve Sarkisian actually stopped Texas from doing it against A&M, which kudos to him. I was upset, but kudos to him. But Florida and Florida State got into it because Florida State is atrocious. North Carolina and NC State got into it. Didn't realize that rivalry was still as big as it was. I guess it maybe got bigger. And then Arizona State and Arizona. Arizona got beat by 40, but they still got pissed off when they put the spear, the devil spear, into midfield. This is what Rivalry Weekend is about. It's not just colors and logos facing off against each other. It's legitimate hatred between programs. It's beautiful.
It was intense, man. But it certainly became kind of a trend. Real quickly on Texas A&M, because I'm sure you were going to go to it. I don't think I've ever seen a crowd that lit before kickoff.
Yeah.
Electric.
I mean, A&M and Kyle Field has been great this year because they've had couple instances of that.
I think that fan base is a bit strange, but
they're a cult.
It is very cultish. But the scene in College Station before the kickoff, what was it, 110?
110 is what their stadium seats, yeah.
That was incredible. That was a road team that went in there, and I give them all the credit in the world, although, you know, A&M had opportunities, but man, Texas was good defensively. Where did you want to go next?
I do want to talk briefly about Miami. We'll get to the overtime thing maybe after the break because we're short on time here.
Yep.
But Miami's out. They lost to Syracuse. They have zero quality wins on their schedule at all, and losing that game, not being a part of the ACC championship game, it's now going to be SMU and Clemson, who Clemson lost this weekend as well. But Miami is out as far as I'm concerned. There's no reason for them to be in the college football playoff. They had opportunities. They blew opportunities. And it was poetic that Kyle McCord, just hours after Ohio State lost to Michigan because they could not score, happened to be the guy that came back from 21-0 win and lead Syracuse to a victory.
Yeah, I mean, I thought for sure Miami was out with that loss, but I've seen a lot of these projected rankings for tonight, and they're in. I'm with you. They lost. Look, Georgia Tech turned out to be a pretty good football team this year. Syracuse, you know, they were a massive underdog at home Sunday, even though, you know, they've had some decent results this year. Remember, they beat Georgia Tech early in the year after Georgia Tech beat Florida State, and we thought that was a big deal. But I don't know how they make it either, but why are people projecting them to be in?
It's because they have two losses, and then you'd be comparing them against teams in the SEC with three. But I could argue that all three of those teams in the SEC with three losses, Bama, Ole Miss, and South Carolina, A&M's not a part of that group. But the other three, I would take them over Miami, all three.
Would you take South Carolina over Miami?
I would take South Carolina. I might argue South Carolina over Bama. I know they lost to them early in the season, but I don't know that anybody's playing better than South Carolina right now.
No, they're not. I think it's, let me just say, if Clemson beats SMU, I hope they don't. I really want SMU to win the ACC in their first year and go to the playoff. Clemson's not a good football team. And this is where, you know, the ACC is essentially, they've got one really good team, as it turns out, SMU. They're going to play a team in Clemson who just lost to South Carolina, lost earlier in the year to Louisville. That if they win on, they're going to be in the playoff because it's an automatic as one of the, you know, top four conferences. Doesn't mean automatic seeding or bye, but they're not a good football team. I was so happy South Carolina won that game. Sellers is something else, man. That quarterback, he can really run.
He's so fun.
You think he's an NFL quarterback?
Low level backup.
He's young, right? Is he a redshirt freshman?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he's that young.
Okay.
He is a redshirt freshman. Maybe he isn't.
He is, right?
Wow, I remember him playing a lot more last year.
He's a big dude.
He's a really big dude. He has some accuracy things that he needs to work on,
but he's as good of a runner as Milroe is.
Yes, I would agree with that. And a slightly better thrower than Milroe. I mean, that throw against Alabama is going to haunt him. He should have made that throw for the 2-point conversion.
Yeah. What else?
I think we should take a break and get to the overtime stuff.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to hold off on the overtime thing. But when we come back, I do want to talk about, you know, sportsmanship, flag planting, even though this wasn't a flag planting situation. But I do want to talk briefly about what James Franklin and Penn State did to Maryland at the end of their game. If you didn't hear about it, Mike Loxley was not very happy. But I will share the details with you when we come back.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.